Am I hungry for God? Are you hungry for God? That's really good. But you can be hungry and never eat. You know, you can go to a restaurant and you can order food, or you can just look at a menu and see those hamburgers and fries or whatever there might be there and never eat it. You know, so you can come to church hungry, but are you being filled? That's the question. Not only are you hungry, Ravenhill said, God hungry men and women find God. That's only if they're receiving. Otherwise, they go away as empty as when they came. So it's good to be hungry, but will you receive this morning? Every one of us in this room have needs. And it isn't that God is here just to meet our every need. Our need is a spiritual need, and every one of us have needs. None of us in this room are as full of Christ as we should be. None of us in this room are as full of the Holy Ghost as God can make us to be. And I hope you're not insulted by that, but I hope you see it as an invitation. There's nothing that I want to say this morning that is meant to insult or to embarrass anyone. I just want to share scriptures that are familiar with us, that they would be to us an encouragement, a challenge, that we would then, from the grace of God, receive the fullness of that which he speaks about. And I want to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about being filled with the Spirit, because you realize that you have absolutely no power to live the Christian life. If you and I, in our natural selves, had power to live the Christian life, Jesus would not have had to die, would he? Something had to happen beyond just the forgiveness of sins. God wants us to live like God, and we have absolutely no power to do that outside of the Spirit. So Jesus came to give us the Spirit. Wilkerson said, and there's three words that have kind of surfaced in my heart and in my mind through the week. And they're these three words, and it's this: power. Power. What's your Christian life look like? Do you see you need some power? Okay? Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Okay, so power was the first word. The second word is passion. How passionate are you? How passionate am I about this Christ, who we sing about, who we love, who we say we love? How passionate are we? Okay? Passionate. That means lost in love, wonder, and praise. Absolutely riveted on the wonder of Calvary, that God would love us. He would love you, that God would love you. And he knows right now you may be scoffing at him. You now this moment might be 10 million miles away with your thoughts. You might be anywhere. God knows it, and he still loves you. You might be in a spirit of mockery. God still loves you. And his point is, he's going to win you. You can run, but you cannot hide. The Spirit of God is always there speaking to us. Passion. Power, passion, and the third thing was practice. If I've got power and I've got passion, then I ought to have practice. And part of practice is prayer. So that's another P. And we can keep adding all kinds of those letters and words to it. But it was those three words. And it's interesting, I ran across a phrase from Wilkerson, I think maybe last night or this morning. He said, this is from the cross and the switchblade. When you strip it of everything else, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, Pentecost. When you strip it of everything else, Pentecost stands for power and life. That's what came into the church when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. Power and life. Well, I'm saying power and passion and practice. Okay? There is, and again, I just want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will be the challenger. Because it's only his convictions that he brings the answers to, not to mine. I can't give you a conviction. Maybe I can put a guilt trip on you, but that's no good. You know, but again, let's look at our lives this week. What were they like? You know, look at my life this week. What was it like? Past month, what's it like? Is there some consistency to it? Power, passion, practice. Power, passion, and practice. What's it been like? You know, do I have power over sin in my life? Do you have power over sin in your life? Do you have power over your mood swings? Do you have power over, put your own thing there? You know, do we? This is the Holy Ghost. This is power. Jesus said Jesus said in John chapter 3, and it's verse 30, and speaking to, it is verse 6. John 3, verse 6, he said to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And, you know, we can try as hard as we want to in the flesh, and we'll never produce a spiritual outcome, because flesh reproduces flesh. If in my own strength I want to be a Christian, I will be a fleshly Christian. I will be frustrated. I will be upset. I will be up one day and down the next. I will be entangled in sin and pride and selfishness, and then I'll be free, and it just boom, boom, it's all over the place, because flesh, flesh, flesh. Flesh cannot produce spirit. But that which is of the Spirit produces spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, if I do, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we need the Spirit, because only the Spirit can produce spiritual results. And that's what we need to have, is spiritual results. He said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, he said, "The flesh profits nothing. It is only the Spirit that gives life." The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And so there's some challenges for us to think about. Now, I want us to look at this first word is power. And I have a string of scriptures. And so today you're going to need your Bibles. None of these scriptures don't take much exposition. They pretty much say what they say. And this is, again, to challenge us. This word is power. And before we even go into those, I want to just throw this verse as kind of a backdrop. I call it Great Expectations. If you're familiar with Dickens's writings, or his movies, Great Expectation, that was a great one. This is it. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. He talks about us knowing this in an experiential way, that we would know in an experiential way what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. What is your problem today? What is my problem today? What is it that's besetting us? What do we think is the problem in our life? You know, we talked about this yesterday at the men's meeting, and I've said it for years. The problem is the person you meet in the mirror every morning. That's our biggest problem. It's not the devil. God's got him on a chain. He can handle him. It's not the devil. It's not my neighbor. It's not my spouse. It's not my children. It's not my job. It's not my whoever it is, it's me. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who have believed and are still believing? Okay, it's continuous into the presence in the Greek word. And not that I believed 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. That was great. That was initiation. But if I am not believing today, if I'm not living in that believing, that in the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have it. So it's exceeding power to usward who believe. I've got to be believing this moment. Quit doubting. Quit complaining. Quit murmuring. Quit picking faults. Quit doing whatever and start believing. And, you know, we could go to 1 Corinthians 13 that Steve quoted about. This is believing. Love never fails. Love thinks no evil. That's believing. That's another way of saying believing. The greatness of His power to usward who believe. Okay, are you believing? Then there's power. Do you have no power? Maybe you're not believing. Because this power is only effective to those who are in the present tense of believing. Am I believing that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I should ask or think. Do I believe that? Am I in a place of believing? Who believe according to the working of His mighty power, not according to my situation, my weaknesses. I failed a million times. Don't believe in yourself. Believe in this power, as He says, the working of His mighty power. And He gives us an example which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. This is the power that if you are believing and if I am believing, this is the power that works in us. Okay? That's the power that works in us. Great expectations. There's great expectations. What can the Spirit not do? You can read a book, a simple little book called March of Faith, the life of Sammy Morris, who was the son of an African chieftain. And in their tribe, when they had tribal warfare and they fought, if you lost, the winning tribe would put a demand on you. You owe us 100 goats. And if they couldn't pay those 100 goats, they took the chief's son as ransom. And they had a weak tribe. It wasn't very big, so they lost a lot. And poor little Sammy, that wasn't his name. His African name is Kabu. They took him as ransom. And this one time they took him, and he was beaten. He was frequently beaten and whipped and treated poorly. And he was tied up to a pole until they would come with ransom. And one night, in the middle of the night, a light shone upon him, and his ropes fell off of him, and he heard the words, "Run, Kabu, run." And he was freed, and he ran, and he followed a light through the jungle, and this light led him through the jungle away from all of his pursuers that were coming to kill him, because if he ran, it was a death sentence. He ran, he obeyed the light. That's a good idea. And he ran, and it led him to a mission station. They shared with him Christ. They told him who the light of the world was. He got saved. He came to America. I mean, just a tremendous life. Simple man, simple boy. That's all he was. Simple young boy, 15, 16 years old, maybe 17. You know, and we know these stories of just simple people. It doesn't take a PhD to be filled with the Spirit or to be filled with joy, just to be believing. Okay. And again, we go on and on those things. Let's look at Luke. Again, I just want us to run a trail of scriptures here under the heading of power. And I've got to move. Luke 24:49, the last chapter of Luke, last chapter, verse 49. And we've gone over these not too long ago. But may the Lord speak to us some fresh word that gives us hope does something in us. And behold, Jesus is saying, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. Power. See, that's my word, power. Power to live the Christian life. Power that overcomes myself. Power that overcomes sin in my life. Power that overcomes my inability to love, my inability to forgive, my inability to forget. Power. Do we have power? Jesus came. He promises to give you power. Okay? Power to overcome who you are by nature, to overcome who I am by nature. That is His promise. Power. Now, does He do it? Okay, we're going to the book of Acts, aren't we? Stick with Luke. Let's go to the book of Acts and go to chapter 2. And I want us to see power because we know who Peter was. He was afraid. He was a man with a big mouth. He was like me, I suppose. Easy to say things, hard to follow through with them. That was Peter. I mean, he right away, "Oh, Lord, do this. You know, I'll never forsake you." The rest of them, they'll all forsake you. You can't trust those 11. But me, you can trust, Lord. And then who was the biggest coward? It was Peter because he didn't know himself. You know, and so here is Peter, the coward. But he received power. And so if you come to verse 37 of chapter 2. Okay, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now, when they heard this. And again, you guys know it's the day of Pentecost. He stands up. Days before, they were hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews. This man stands up in the millions of thousands of people who 50 days earlier had crucified his rabbi. crucified the Messiah, crucified his teacher, crucified his Lord, and he ran and he hid. 50 days later, he's standing in front of thousands of them when weeks earlier, one young girl scared him away. He's standing in front of them, thousands of them, and does he have power? We know he's got boldness. Does he have power? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what can we do? This man, there was power. He convicted thousands of men and women because the promise Jesus said, you wait until you receive power. Be clothed with power from on high. Power to change who Peter was. Okay, power. We see this man, he's filled with power, isn't he? We'll go to chapter 3 and verse 7. He has power. They come to the opening of the temple, and there is a man who's crippled. He's been crippled most of his life or all of his life. Peter says to him, look, silver and gold we don't have. You know, it's too bad the churches today in America have plenty of silver and gold, but not so much of the next thing. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we're going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you stand up and walk. That was power. In the name of Jesus Christ, you stand up and walk. Turn to chapter 5. You might not like this one quite as well. 5 and verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to who? Holy Spirit. He was in the church. So, you see, it's the Holy Spirit that we deal with when we work with each other. We're working with Christ. Jesus said to Paul on the Damascus Road, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He thought he was persecuting Stephen and Peter and James and John and Thomas and Philip and the rest of them. But no, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Here, Peter says, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. And you kept back part of the price. While it remained, was it not thine? And after it was sold, was it still not in your own power that thou... And you've conceived this thing in your heart. And verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and he gave up the ghost. Talk about power. That's a different type of power, isn't it? Because he was living a lie, professed a lie. He lied to the Holy Ghost and the church was so pure that he fell down dead in the church. And so did his wife. They fell down dead. In chapter 6 and verse 8, chapter 6 and verse 8, we read this about the men that were chosen these men to minister. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles. Stephen, full of great faith and power. Again, so what's your power level? In comparison to Stephen's power level, if we had a thermometer, a meter here, you know, we could see Steve as though there his is, you know, compared to the power that was in God, and he was up there a ways, I don't know how far. Okay, now let's plug Tom's in there. There must be a short. It's not showing up on the meter. You know, must be, let's fix, you know, where is mine? Where is your power on that meter? He was filled with faith and power. Power to overcome himself. Power to overcome sin. Power to overcome passivity in his life. Power to whatever. It goes on. We know the story of Stephen. Chapter 13, verse 11. We'll look at a couple more and then we'll switch. Chapter 13, actually in verse 9, Paul says to this one, it says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, okay, power, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Power, as we said, filled with the Holy Ghost and power, he said, you're going to be blind. The man was blind, just like that. Acts 16, verse 18, similar situation, only this time it's a young girl. 16, verse 18. Okay, this girl had kind of taunted him and followed him and did this and that. And then finally, Paul, by the Spirit, had enough of it. And it came to pass Well, let me skip down. Let's go to verse 18. Yeah. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Of course, he got in trouble for it, but there's power. Okay, these men were definitely men of power. Were they not men for power? Were they not men who could meet every need and every challenge that they had in their generation? While they lived, everything they confronted, did God give them the power to overcome those things? Tell me, who won the war between the Roman Empire and 12 or 11 silly fishermen and silly men? Who won that war? The church won. Why? Because God gave them power. He gave them the Holy Ghost. That's why he gave them the Holy Ghost. Who won over all the enemies that they had? They won because God had given them power. Given them power. And the power comes from the Spirit of God. That's where power comes. Okay, the next word that I have is passion. Okay, turn with me to Luke. I'm just kind of jumping back and forth in Luke's writings. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Again, a familiar scripture. But the word is passion. And man, these men had passion. Okay? If we have a meter of passion, let's see our passion on the monitor bouncing up and down. Let's see where our passion's at. Okay? Passion is that which carries me. Passion is that which it says about Jesus that the zeal of his Father's house had eaten him up. The passion for his Father's house had just eaten him up. Passion for the things of God. What kind of an excuse does it take you or me not to pray in the morning? Doesn't take much, does it? What kind of an excuse does it take for you or me not to have communion with God? To miss a meeting? To do this? To do that? You know, God's always put on the back shelf. You know, I'll do that later in the day. You won't do it later in the day. Because the spirit of this age will see to it that you will not do it. The spirit of this age is a curse against the church that it will keep us so busy that we're no heavenly good and we're no earthly good either. We can build all the kingdoms on earth that we want to, but they're going to fade and they're going to die and they're going to fall. And so here, passion, verse 49 of chapter 12 of Luke, I have come to send fire on the earth. I have a baptism to be baptized with. I want to say, Have I received this fire? Jesus, I've come to send fire. You know, and in the middle of this, he's talking about divisions, about standing for something, about going against the grain. As the old Spurgeon said, even a dead fish can go downstream. You know, even a dead fish can go downstream, but it takes a fish with some strength to go against the current. Okay? He came to send fire on the earth. How's your passion? Excited to be here. Happy to be here. You know, glad that you're here. No other place on earth you'd rather be than here. Lifting our voices and our hearts to praise our God who set us free from sin and from wretchedness and from an eternal hell. Happy to be here. In love with our God. Passionate. Oh, wow. Such passion. I've seen similar in a nursing home. Forgive me. You know, really. I mean, are you excited to be saved today? Okay. Amen. It's good. We should be. Where's passion come from? The Holy Ghost comes. We should be passionate. What does passion look like? We're going to the book of Acts. Go to chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Again, my intention is not to embarrass or to be funny. It's to make us hungry. If these things aren't real in our life to where they should be, we've got to get in our faces and on our knees. We've got to seek God for it. There is nothing more important in this life than these things. Okay? Chapter 2 of Acts and verse 46 and 47 again. Let's look at some passion of the church. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Imagine if we had church every day. Wow, wouldn't that be boring? Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. They had passion. They had passion. I remember when I first got saved, we used to meet every night of the week. We couldn't help but meet every night of the week. Now there's things that climb into your life, and we were all single and young and had no responsibilities, so it was a little different. But we met every night of the week. Every night of the week. We didn't even announce it. We just all came together, gathered together every night of the week. Boom. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were just in one accord, loving God. They were all in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What were they doing? Praising God and having favor with all the people. What do your neighbors think of you? You know, do they think maybe you're a little religious nut, but boy, they really like you. There's something about this person, this girl that I like. They're kind to us. They're good to us. They're not jerks. They're different, but, you know, I can't find much fault in them. But praising. Are we praising? Did you praise the Lord this morning? If we can't praise the Lord here, can we do it in heaven? You know, man, it's pretty easy. No one's got a gun. No one's going to go to the police and say, hey, I saw Mike raise his hand in church. That means I think that he loves Jesus. We better throw him away, get him arrested. You know, here's what they did. They met daily and they were praising God. Did you praise God this morning? Where's your passion? Where's my passion? You know, because the Holy Ghost brings passion, power and passion. Let's look at another one. Let's go to chapter 4. Find some more passion. Wow. Find some more time would be good. Okay, chapter 4. Oh, let's look at, it's full of those things. Let's read verse 24. Okay, they had been arrested. They had been threatened. What does it take to keep me away from a meeting? You know, what kind of excuse does it take to keep me away from a meeting? You know, oh, you're going to get a phone call from your brother. Oh, I better stay, you know, so I can get a phone call from my brother, who I could call back anytime, you know, or whatever it is, you know. Anyway, so here it is. They're threatened that they're going to be in trouble. This is the authority. This is like being in Russia and being caught. And they say, if you do this again, you're going to be in trouble. And it's big trouble. This is Russia when it was a communist country. This is what it was like for them. They were in trouble. In verse 24, and when they heard, when the church heard what had happened to those Peter and John, because they had healed this lame man by the gate, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, you know, oh Lord, please, you know, we're going to skip meeting together now for a while because we're really afraid, and we need to go underground. You know, we'll try to meet maybe once a week if it works out in our schedules, but, you know, I'm not sure. With one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God. You made heaven and earth. You made the seas and everything that is in them. Who by your mouth, thy servant David said, why do the heathen rage against us? And the people imagine vain, foolish things. Vain things are things that don't matter. They don't count for anything. Look what people rage about. Stock market, cars, touchdowns, blah, whatever. On and on it goes. Why do they imagine these vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. This is what matters. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, who you have anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the nations or the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel had determined beforehand. But now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak the word by stretching forth your hand in the heel, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of thy holy child Jesus. Let's go underground, be incognito. They said, no, let us go out, and when we pray for somebody, let them be healed, and everybody will know we're Christians. Everybody will know. There's no hiding, and that's why Peter and John got in trouble, because they healed this man who was lame, and they did it in the midst of thousands of people at the temple. That's why they got in trouble, and they said, okay, we better not do that again. No, they said, hey, multiply this. Let's get in trouble. Let's be passionate for Jesus. Let's get together and be passionate. You know, and if God brings signs and wonders, praise his name. If he doesn't, we praise him anyway. It's his business, all that he hath decided to do. But that's what they were like in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they spoke the word with boldness. That's passion. And I can look at other scriptures. I can't. Let's look at the last one, practice. Going back to chapter 2 of Acts, this is practice. And again, where is my passion on that scale for Jesus? You know, where is my, it's, you know, the thing is to be passionate for Jesus, not for meeting, not for getting together. You know, but if I have passion for Jesus, I want to be with his people. I want to get to a place where I can fellowship together with his people. I want to be where we can worship him together. I want to be where I can read his word with someone. I want to get into my closet. If we have this passion, just meeting isn't anything, but the passion, the power and the passion of God there brings us together. Let's see God move. How does he move through us when we're so stuck in the mud? You know, so filled up with the business of today, so filled up with self, worrying about our little universe. And there's such greater things going on. Let the power of God come and liberate us of all these things. Chapter 2, again, practice. Verse 41. Let's read in chapter 2, 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. So they practiced, they did what they were told to do, repent, believe, and be baptized. They were baptized. Verse 42, and what did they do? Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You might not like doctrine, but the apostles had some, and they continued in it daily. They were under the teaching of the scriptures, and they did it daily. This was their practice. Their practice wasn't to stay home and practice their chocolate chip recipe or their, you know, baseball card collection or whatever it was. The practice was that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then they had fellowship. And then they broke bread together. And then they were praying together daily. They did it daily. That was their practice. They just did it daily. They did practice. The Holy Ghost came into them. They had power. They had passion. And they practiced it. They just didn't sit at home and say, oh, I'm filled with power. I got Holy Ghost power. I'm passionate for Jesus, but I'm just staying home. You know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not meeting with the saints. Something's wrong there when those things happen. Chapter 3 in verse 1, we find that Peter and John, in verse 1, they went into the temple in the hour of prayer. They were exposing themselves to people who wanted to murder them, but their practice was, we're going to pray. We're going to go in a public place where we can pray and we'll grab. There was other ones meeting. It wasn't just Peter and John. There might have been hundreds there that were there with them to meet at the hour of prayer. There was a place they used to meet in Solomon's porch. You can find it in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. They met. It says they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. That part of the temple they met and they prayed there frequently. So that's what they did. They went and they prayed and when it was very dangerous. Let's go to chapter 5 in verse 29. Okay, here they are, a little background. Here they are, they'd been arrested, they'd been thrown in prison. They were told, don't you ever go preach in the name of Jesus again. We're going to let you go this time. We'll beat you, too. We'll beat you up a bit here, and then we'll let you go, but don't do it again. So they get thrown in prison, beaten up. God opens the prison cells. They go marching out, and what do? They go right back to the same thing again. And so it goes on, and so then they get arrested. I love it in verse 27. And when they had brought them, you know, because they got arrested again. In verse 25 it says, then came one of them, that'd be one of the soldiers perhaps, and came and said to the high priest and the chief priest, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, they're teaching the people. Talk about practice and boldness and passion. They're right back in it again, in the people. In verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And they go on and tell them, but we're going to obey God rather than men. And he gives this beautiful message to them. We're going to do that. Let's look at it. I want us to look at one more. Look at chapter 6, verse 8. Before I'm going to read verse 4, the apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer and ministering in the word, that's practice. Verse 8, and Stephen, okay, remember Stephen, where he came from. He was just someone who served. He was chosen to serve, elected to serve tables, to hand out, to do this, to do that, do those things. And Stephen, full of faith and power. He was full of faith. And again, one of the qualifications was he had to be men filled with the Spirit. There were other men there that maybe weren't filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, it'd be a silly qualification, would it not be? Right? I mean, if there was men in the church and all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, then why would that be a qualification? Say, pick some men that are filled with wisdom, because it does say that are filled with wisdom, but we already know that everybody there is filled with the Holy Ghost. But they said, no, be specific here. We want men that are filled with wisdom, but also filled with the Holy Ghost. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He did great wonders among the people. And I think with that, I'll end with that regarding the practice. There's again, a whole book of Acts is full of this stuff. Power, passion, and practice. The whole book of Acts is filled with that, is it not? It's all filled with that. The other thing that it says is that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, it says that these things are for your children, your young, your sons and your daughters. They will prophesy. It's for them. In verse 37, I think it is, in Acts, or 39, it said, for the promise is unto you and your children. So if someone's thinking, well, that was for that day, it's not for now. No, the promise is unto us as well. And in closing, turn with me to Isaiah 51. Actually, I want Isaiah 55. Sorry. See, God has a lot of work to do with us. He has a lot of work to do with me. A lot of work to do with me. He has a lot of work to do with us. Because this promise is unto us. But if I am so filled, you say, well, where's the problem? If I am so filled with myself, or I am so filled with my life, whatever all that equals, and it's not bad things necessarily, but if I am so filled with those things, how am I going to be filled with the Spirit? Because God can't fill a vessel that's already full. It must be emptied. It must be humbled. It must be emptied. And God, we need to empty ourselves of ourself and whatever we think we deserve, and just be empty, dead to self, and let God fill us. Why don't you have passion? Why don't I have passion? Because I'm so filled with other things. Come on. We've got to be honest with ourselves, don't we? We're filled with other things. Cares of this world has come in and choked things out. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about business. Concerned about my husband. Concerned about my children. I'm concerned about my income. I'm concerned about my retirement. I'm concerned about, on and on and on it goes. You can be consumed and filled with your ministry, whatever. And that can consume you. So that God isn't what He should be in our lives. And that's the issue. How is God going to fill us when I'm so filled with ourselves? Now, first of all, I have to assume, and I have assumed, which might be a mistake, but first of all, I've got to be His. I've got to be born again. I have to be God's. Now, I might receive the baptism at the same time, but no one who is not born again isn't going to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to be born again. Again, they might happen in one, one great movement of God where we're saved and filled with the Spirit. That's great. And I hope that happens to you if you're not saved, that's how you come in, as you're filled with the Spirit. But if it isn't that way, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We just need to be filled with the Spirit. Empty of ourselves. That's what it means. It's a great phrase. Oh, I am filled with the Spirit. Why are you so full of yourself? Why am I so full of myself if I'm filled with the Spirit? I mean, how can two things fill something? They just can't. And only one thing can fill it. And let's, I'm not pointing fingers, but we need to be honest with ourselves. All of us need to be fuller. I don't know if that's theologically correct, but all of us need to be fuller. Emptier of ourselves, more filled with Christ. To be more like Him, more loving, more passionate for the lost, more passionate for... All of us need it. Don't feel like, oh, gee, I'm the only one in the room. We all need it. And so here's the invitation, Isaiah 55, verse 1. And I'm reading from the old version. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. It's a cry. Come on. Come. Come. Everyone who's thirsty, come on. And it's not Isaiah's cry, okay? It comes from the Father heart of God. God the Father, who sent His Son to die for us, to bleed and to purchase for Himself a bride that God wants to fill with His Spirit. And so He went to heaven and sent the Spirit. God the Father is crying, ho, hello, hey, out there, all you guys, Bethelites, Marshallites, whoever we all are, you know, hey, ho, out there, ho. Everyone who's thirsting, what do? You got to come to the waters. You don't need any money. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be a college grad. You don't have to be pretty. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a certain age. Anyone can come without money. Doesn't take money. Doesn't take brains. It just takes brokenness. Takes honesty. Lord, I need you. I don't have power like they had in the book of Acts. Power over myself. You know, power to forgive. Power to love. Power over sin. I got some measure, but I don't have that as a measure. I don't have passion like they had passion. I don't have that kind of passion. My practice isn't what it should be. And that's because I lack the passion, because I lack the power. But it's not that. So ho, everyone who is thirsting for more of God, to be emptier of ourselves, fuller of God. Come ye, buy and eat. So you can't just come. We've done that. You're all here. You've come. You can't just buy and say, oh, that's pretty good. Agreement. You got to eat it. I got to take this in. Even I, and I'm not saying this about me, but someone could be there saying, we need to say, even I need this. And I need it more than anyone. When I said even I don't mean me, I'm just saying what even you need it. Even I need it. We need this. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. And again, these are symbols of the good life, the life that's filled with God. For in His presence is the fullness of joy. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. And it means that it's without measure. Because if it doesn't cost anything, you can have as much as you want. You know, even if it was only a penny for a measure, your pennies would eventually run out. I don't care if you have $1 million in the bank, eventually those pennies would run out. But this, there is no money. So it's without measure. You can have more, and you can have more, and you can have more. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price, without measure. And it goes on, why do we spend money for anything else? Hearken diligent unto me. So there's our challenge, our invitation. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to be honest with God. God died that He would have a church filled with the Spirit. And we know what that looks like. We've seen it. We're studying Ephesians. We see what that looks like. Keeping the unity of the faith, just loving one another, walking in freedom from sin, touching a lost world with power, strength, having power over our own lives, being filled with the Spirit. Wow, we know what it looks like. And that's what God died was to make His people, a people like that, not caught up in the American dream, not caught up in Adrian Peterson dream or whatever dream or Martha Stewart or whoever. That's to make us like Him. That's what He's died to do, and that's what He's given us the Spirit for, and we need it. So God, make us hungry and eat and buy. And let's just close in prayer. You talk to the Lord, and if you think I'm nuts, then you still talk to the Lord and you pray for me. If you think I'm wrong, pray for me. But if God's spoken to you, you talk to the Lord. Talk to God about it. He is the giver of the Holy Ghost in measures, greater measures. I'm just going to take a minute. If you want to pray out, you go ahead. We're just going to be quiet for a few moments here, and then we're going to close with a hymn. So again, if you want to respond, you do that. If you want if you want prayer, you want to talk to somebody about these things, grab Steve or myself, and let's just let God have us, all of us, and let Him make of us the church that He wants to make, not the church that anybody else wants to make. It's the church that God wants to make, one that reflects Him and glorifies Him. Yes, Lord. Father, just ask too, Lord, that as we spend the rest of our day, Lord, I know there's activities, Lord, but might we carve out 10 minutes, whatever it is, Lord, of our day and get alone with You and do inventory with You and just, Lord, just empty ourselves before You, Lord, and let You speak to us, Lord, and have Your way, Father. Just pray and thank You, Lord. Jesus' name, amen.